Welcome to Torah Imecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Siegel, and we're continuing today with the second Mizmor of the Book of Tehillim. In the first Mizmor, we focused on the greatness of the individual, and we compare the tzaddik to the rasha, the righteous one to the evil one. The righteous one will ultimately achieve success, and the rasha, the evil one, will not. This song continues the same theme, but now it's on a national level. And so, like in the first song, we're going to see how good will ultimately prevail over evil, that tzaddik will ultimately prevail over the rasha. The Gemara tells us in Brachos 9b, Tes Amud Beis, that the first and second song of Tehillim, the first and second Mizmorim, are actually one song that was later split into two. And one of the easy ways of recognizing this is because the beginning of the first song is Ashrei, Ashrei Ha'ish, and the end of the second song is Ashrei Kol HaChosim Ba. So the Ashreis form the bookends of this song. And another proof that this song is really connected to Mizmor Aleph is that the song of Beis does not really have a title. In fact, it begins like this, Pasuk Aleph. Lama ragshu goyim ulu'umim yegu rik. Why is it that the nations are making such a commotion and the nations talk in vain? There's no lamenatseach, no get ready to sing. It's just, why is this happening? Why is there such a commotion going on? And the Medrash in Tehillim, the Medrash Shochar Tov, compares this verse to one in Yeshayahu, where the Navi uses the same language as ragshu, where he says, Urashaim kayam nigrash, the wicked will be driven like the sea. The waves of the sea are constant. As soon as they quiet down for a moment, they start again. This is the commotion that the nations make, that they're like waves. They're relentless in their desire to attack the Jewish people, and they're constantly coming up with new strategies of anti-Semitism and other methods of destroying Jews and Judaism. However, even in the moment, if they seem strong like a wave, ultimately, just like the waves never overtake the shore, they will never overtake us. So what are they doing? What is the purpose of their commotion? Pasuk Beis, verse 2. Yisyatzvu malchei eretz, veroznim nostu yachad, al Hashem v'al Mashicho. The kings of the earth take their stand, the princes, or the officers, they conspire together against Hashem and his Mashiach and his anointed ones. They're fighting against Hashem by fighting against his anointed one. Who is his anointed one? So the Radak explains that it's David himself, who was anointed as king of the Jewish people by Hashem through Shmuel, the prophet. And he was attacked by the great surrounding nations of his time. At the same time, it's a prophetic song, for in the future, Gog will come, as in Gog, the king of Magog, and he will attack the Mashiach, the Melech HaMashiach, the ultimate Mashiach. But while we wait for Mashiach, we experience this prophetic pasuk in almost every generation. The nations don't stop. So who is the anointed one, or who his anointed one? The Jewish people. It's all of us who are designated or consecrated to serve God and guide the world to recognize his greatness. So what do the nations claim? What is their motivation as they try to put us down? They say, Pasuk Gimel, Ninatka es mosrosemo, v'nashlicha mimenu avosemo. Let us cut their cords and cast away their ropes from us. So what are these cords and ropes? So in the time when the Jewish people were all in the land of Israel and they conquered a nation, they would require the nation to observe the seven Noahide laws. That's a mitzvah in the Torah. It was this Judeo ethic that the nations found repugnant and still do. The nations, either consciously or subconsciously, see the Jewish people as representing God, and they want to distance themselves from God. They see the ropes and the cords as harnessing them. The interesting thing is that even when the Jewish people assimilate, the nations still see us all as God's representatives. Adolf Hitler clearly articulated this in Mein Kampf when he said, And I quote, "The Jews have inflicted two wounds on the world, circumcision for the body and the consciousness for the soul. I come to free mankind from their shackles," end quote. Without realizing it, he was actually quoting the verse. Perhaps he's referring to these very cords and ropes that he feels and the world feels that are holding them back. Alternatively, the Midrash on Tehillim explains these cords and ropes as our connection with God. They want to break our ropes, our connection that we have with him, and our commitment to fulfilling his will. Like the Greeks and others throughout history, who in their various ways tried and try to intimidate us or convince us that we have to be politically correct, and that much of our beliefs in service of God doesn't really seem to make sense. The Midrash continues and says that specifically these cords and ropes are referring to our tefillin that we tie with leather straps. The head tefillin represent man's subjugation of his intellect to God, and the tefillin on his arm, on the arm, show that he connects his actions to God's will. The nations want to break our connection intellectually and in our actions so that we won't be the praiseworthy person or people that we just spoke about in the beginning of Tehillim. This is so particularly relevant right now here in Eretz Yisrael. We're in the midst of fighting a war against nations who want to bring us down and erase us from this earth. As the war began, so did the Tefillin campaign begin. In addition to the Tehillim, but the Tefillin campaign. Soldiers who had never worn Tefillin, or certainly didn't generally put them on, have begun to put on Tefillin regularly. There were so many requests for donations of Tefillin to the army bases, and all over the cities, it's not just the armies, but all of the cities in Israel, not even only in Yerushalayim, but in cities where it isn't so common to see people wearing Tefillin, or have Tefillin stations set up. They're tefillin stations all over, and I see it regularly in Yerushalayim and elsewhere, people using these tefillin. And it's not just Chabad tefillin stations, it's tefillin stations all over. Furthermore, let's take these ropes one step further. This is not in the Midrash, but I can help to relate this idea to the strings of tzitzis that have become enormously popular here in Eretz Yisrael. Even the Arab soldiers are asking for tzitzis. And it isn't just the soldiers. I've seen so many men wearing tzitzis that don't look like they have ever worn tzitzis before. The nations of the world are trying to break our ropes, and we are strengthening those very cords and ropes. Which takes us to Pasuk Daled, verse 4. Yoshev b'shamayim yischak, Hashem yil'ag lamo. He who sits in the heavens is laughing, for Hashem will mock them. Hashem is sitting in the heavens and laughing because nations think that they can change God's plan. But in fact, they are strengthening God's plan and strengthening the Jewish people. However, while they try to control the world, God doesn't just sit in the heavens and watch. At some point, Pasuk Hey, Uz, Yedaber elemo ba'apo uvacharono yivalemo. Then he will speak against them in his anger, and in his fury he will terrify them. He will only stay sitting in the heavens watching this for so long. At some point he's going to act against these nations. And he says, Pasuk 6, and now it's the Tehillim is giving us God's voice as if he is speaking to the nations. Pasuk Vav. And I have anointed my king on Sion, my holy mountain. So let's work on this pasuk. First of all, who is my king? So certainly the king can be referring to King David. And the king is also referring to the Melech HaMashiach, the king of Mashiach in the future. But at the same time, all of us as Jewish people are royalty. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that at Har Sinai, we were all given crowns representing the fact that we are now considered royalty. The Gemara in Nazir says that all of the Jewish people are B'nai Melachim, children of kings, children of royalty. Tzion is referring to the place of the Beis HaMikdash, where the nations of the world come to serve God. Tzion as well in various places could also be referring to the whole city of Yerushalayim or even to the entire land of Israel. So the Malbim explains that Hashem is telling the nations that through your fighting the Jewish people, it will be clear that God has designated his Mashiach, his people, to rule on Tzion. Now that God has spoken, this singer speaks. David addresses us and he says, Asapra el chok, Hashem amar elai b'ni ata, ani hayom yeliditicha. I'm going to tell you a principle, a chok. In Hebrew, it's chok, from the language of engraved. Something so important that you should engrave it in your mind. I'm going to tell you something very important. Hashem told me, God told me, you are my son. I gave birth to you today. So David's referring to the day that he was anointed king by the Navi Shmuel. And God was so excited that David would be king. It was as if he had been born that day. Well, David isn't saying this to tell us about his importance. Would that be so critical that we need to engrave it in our minds today? This principle doesn't only apply to David, but to all of us. When we recite this verse, we are the I. We're referred to in the Torah as Banim Atem Lashem in Parshas Re'eh. You are children to God. In Shemos, which we recently read on Shabbos, Hashem tells Moshe to tell Paro, send out my son, and they will serve me. Shalachas b'ni v'ya'avduni, send out my son and they will serve me. All of us Jewish people are considered the ben, the son. We should really all feel that we are God's special child. And just like God was excited on the day that he anointed David, so too, he is enthusiastic with the unique mission that he gives to each of us in which we bring out his glory. So stop a minute when you say these words of Tehillim and think, if Hashem is so excited about our mission, about us, as if we were born today, so we should be excited about our unique responsibilities as well. Furthermore, just like God gave David special strength on the day that he was anointed in order that he would be able to actualize his new responsibilities, so too God gives each of us the strength we need to actualize ours. Pasuk Ches, Hashem's voice continues through the speaker, through David HaMelech, and says, ask of me, sha'al mimeni, ve'etna goyim nachlasecha, v'achuzascha afsei aretz. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, and the ends of the earth are your possessions. Those very nations that want to conquer you, don't worry, I'll give them into your hands. Pasuk Tes, Tro'eim b'shevet barzel, kechli yotzer tenaptzeim. You will smash them with a rod of iron and shatter them like a potter's vessel. And this is what Hashem tells David, you're going to be able to fulfill your mission as king against these nations that are making such a commotion. And this message is for all of us for all times. And with this new confidence that Hashem gives us, we now address the nations. Pasuk Yud. V'yatam lachim haskilu, hivasru shovtei aretz. And now, kings, be wise. Take rebuke, judges of the land. In other words, we're saying, listen up. But what is this rebuke or admonition? Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ivdu es Hashem b'yira, v'gilu b'ra'ada. Serve Hashem with awe. Recognize that God is present. That's Yiras, recognizing that Hashem is present. And then you will rejoice even when you are trembling. In other words, what we're telling them is if you fear God by not trying to strike down the Jewish people, then you will be happy because you won't be destroyed when all the others are being destroyed, when they're trembling. Pasuk Yubeis, we continue to admonish the nation, saying, Nash Kuvar, Penya enaf v'sovdu derech ki yivar kim'at apo. Yearn for purity. If not, he will become angry, and your way will be doomed, for in a brief moment his anger will blaze. And here we are. What's this purity? This purity is the the kernel of wheat. Bar is the language of a pure kernel of wheat. And we're back to that picture of the wheat that we had in the first Mizmar. There we read how the evil ones will blow away like the chaff. And the truth is that when you look at wheat in a field, the chaff and the stem look so beautiful, while the kernels of wheat, which is really what we want, they're hidden inside. In order to get the kernels of wheat, you need to remove the chaff. So here we warn the nations to yearn for the truth, for purity, for that pure kernel of wheat, even though it's hidden. The evil seems to be blossoming, but it really won't last long. Remove the evil and go beyond the evil. Take care of that kernel of wheat. The word nashku, which we translated as yearn for purity, yearn for that pure grain, can also be the word for kiss, as a nishika. And what it means is kiss that purity, kiss the pure one. In other words, connect to the anointed ones of God instead of trying to fight them. And then the Mizmar ends, in the same pasuk of Yabez, the last four words, Ashrei kol chosevo, praiseworthy are all who trust in him. And this is referring to those who yearn for the purity and fear God. They will be praiseworthy. So the last three psukim of this song is an admonishment clearly directed to the nations. But the truth is, they're probably not listening. So these psukim are really a reminder to those who already fear God, meaning us. Remember, whatever power and glory the evil around us seems to have, stay focused on purity. Recognize that their power will be blown away, and ultimately the truth will be revealed. How praiseworthy we will feel, and we can even feel now, when we see how we stay focused on the goodness and the truth, despite the evil commotion around us. This is such an important psalm to integrate into our lives, especially during these challenging times. We see daily the commotion that the nations are causing, and we remind ourselves in this song, Hashem is laughing at them. He sees the big picture and knows that they aren't going to fully actualize their plans. They never have and never will. At some point, God will unleash his anger and destroy them. We also need the chizuk, the inspiration that the song gives us, to recognize that we are the anointed ones. We have a special role to play as a nation and as an individual. Listen to the words you say in this song and hear God saying in all this commotion, Bini ata, you are my child, and I have a special role for you in this world. I birthed you for this very day. Don't worry, the evil will not win, and you, my Jewish nation, my Jewish child, will emerge as pure wheat. The nations too have a chance to fear God, and if they do, they will be happy and praiseworthy. And what will make them praiseworthy? If they support us during this trying time. Nashku bar. When we really understand the words of this song, they will transform us and give us so much strength and pride. We will be empowered to do more and be more, and Hashem will use all of our merits to change the world for the better. Hence, the power of Tehillim. Thank you for studying Le'iloi Nishmot Helen Moskowitz and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II Sheirita Pleita. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day. Sponsored by their grandchildren, Yitzchak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.